All right, good morning, everybody. It looks like we are live here. Good to see y'all. So I'm just going to jump right in, as I always do. And I don't know if I'm going to do a series of talks or reflections on this, but I may, so don't hold me to it. But today I want to talk about ill will in the quadrant of doom. Ill will in the quadrant of doom. It sounds like a comic book, doesn't it? We all know ill will. Ill will is sort of the wishing of harm onto others or to ourselves. The quadrant of doom is when the emotions of anger, disgust, contempt, and shame, that's what I call emotionally the quadrant of doom, which is a talk that I do in addiction because I think that anger, disgust, contempt, and shame are really kind of the engines that drive all forms of addiction. Some of us have different relationships to all those emotions. I don't really have time to get into the role of all of them, but we'll discuss them a little bit. And the reason I bring this up, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this moment, but I'm finding it hard to not hope or wish that the president of the United States dies of the coronavirus. I don't know if this thought has occurred in your mind recently. I suspect that it has. At one point or another, it probably has crossed your mind. And it's also very interesting, and I've had really long, interesting conversations with Buddhist monks about this idea of is it appropriate or okay? What is the idea of sacrificing one for the many? You know, do we, you know, and this is where metta gets really difficult. Am I really, really supposed to wish well-being and goodness and kindness on all living beings? Even the ones who are doing horrible acts? This is especially as now we're coming into the political landscape. I don't want to talk about it too much, but I do want to talk about the way that we approach that. And and especially the role of contempt, because contempt and ill will for me are very much closely related. So when I feel, or when people feel morally superior to other people, it's pretty easy to slide into wanting bad things to happen to them or for them. And, you know, this hits our deepest sense of fairness, what's fair, a sense of justice, wanting there to be some kind of justice. And then feeling like, hard not to feel like what's our role in trying to agents of change in the world, positive agents of change in the world, in the sense of wanting to have some kind of justice, or in some circles we talk about restorative justice, or we might talk about something like forgiveness. And how does all that work? That's really complicated stuff right there. Because one of the problems, I think, of being involved in Buddhist practice that I've noticed for myself, and I don't believe that I'm alone in this, is that we can slip into passivity. In fact, if you find that at all in your life, or if there's been times in your life where you feel conflict avoidant, where you just don't really want to deal with conflict on any level, passivity really looks attractive. It's just like, I have no opinion here. I just don't really want to be involved. And we become passive and complacent. And I don't really think that that's so good. And also we can also feel passive just in our lives, where we just don't really do much. We don't, we kind of slip into a delusional fog of just kind of trying to get through. To some degree, I would call it sometimes we can have too much acceptance. That's just the way it is. It is what it is. I'll just deal with it. Or I am how I am. It's just how I am. And it's just too much acceptance of that which is going on. So right now, when we look at the way that people treat people, of course, people haven't really ever really treated each other all that great anyway. But now we have an abundance of awareness of just how badly people do treat each other now. And if we look at it through the lens of relationships, we are relational creatures. We have relationships to the people we know. We actually have relationships to people I have a relationship to people I don't even, never even met. And so when we look at the way that this works, this is really where the ill will can come into play. So if I become angry with you, if I become angry with somebody, it's very easily to slide into wanting bad things to happen for you. If I feel disgust towards you, I feel like what you're doing or what you said or how you are, is a sense of disgust, a disapproval. There, it's very easy to slip into ill will. Contempt, for sure. If I feel like I'm better than you, morally superior, and I feel like actually that you're not only am I morally superior than you, but actually what you're doing is totally wrong and bad and inappropriate, and in fact you're actually part of the problem here, it's really easy to slip into ill will. And then shame. Some of us, for probably many reasons, have a hard time with wishing, or we feel bad about having ill will towards others, so we just have it towards ourselves, and then we have that sense of shame. Where did I have this here? So shame ultimately is a threat of disconnection. So anytime I feel a threat of being disconnected, there's that shame kind of fear, or sometimes it can be just a feeling of disconnected towards ourselves. So really what we're talking about, of course, here is emotions, and how do we do our Dharma work? How do we, handle and deal with these emotions that are hardwired into our system, that rear their ugly heads all day, every day for the most part. And we don't want to suppress. We don't want to have this sort of Buddhist suppression, denial, apathy towards them, a suppression of them, then the side effects of that aren't great. We also don't want to indulge them either. So I can tell you for the last week, especially since the Tuesday night debate, which I foolishly watched, I've just find myself really, really trying to modulate between these two extremes of really indulging the situation, and then getting tired of that, and then suppressing, and then indulging, and then suppressing. And I find that I don't really even, if I had to be honest, if I really wanted to calibrate myself into a middle between those two, I actually have no idea what that looks like right now. I don't even know what that would be like to be in the middle of those two. It sort of seems one or the other. Of course, not to, to easily say that probably the middle between those two is some degree of equanimity, but I don't really feel like I have much of that right now. Yeah, really hard to have equanimity right now. Equanimity feels passive and indifferent to me right now. My equanimity feels very near enemy. Sort of like, oh, whatever, I don't even really want to deal. So when ill will enters the equation, of course, we know that if we're good Buddhists, we don't have ill will anymore. That's probably not realistic. So when we look at it from a perspective on ourselves, what is ill will? How does it play out? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Where's the line? Where do we draw a line in the sand between recognizing that we have ill will, and then not engaging in any sort of activity of body, speech, or mind that would allow it to come to some kind of fruition. And also, I think when ill will and contempt are kind of teamed up, as they are right now for a lot of us, as far as feeling contempt goes, typically most, so we think about disgust. So we can be disgusted by what's going on, and that's probably the more healthy way to be. Disgust kind of doesn't, we don't really like how disgust feels for the most part. It's like we want it to go away. We want to be through with it. We want to get past it. But when ill will and contempt are both happening, for the most part, they're pretty enjoyable. As far as feeling, hedonic feeling, avedana, for the most part, it's hard not to indulge in contempt and ill will, because when we're in it, when we're doing it, the moral superiority or the self-righteous indignation, we might say, can be so heightened that it can be really kind of pleasant. It can be enjoyable. And it can be hard to put down because of those things. How much better it would be if... and, you know, that's something that most people wouldn't admit that. We wouldn't probably admit that we find that to be enjoyable, even though that we might. So if we kind of just play it out, what happens is, so of course we know we have to be careful that we don't take too much responsibility for what it is that arises in our mind. You know, we're in our practice of Dharma, we're trying to stay away from the strategy of trying to keep, you know, these things from arising in the mind, because as you've probably noticed, if you've watched your mind, all kinds of things arise without your permission. So when we're working with these kinds of experiences, or even the craving, the reactivity, all this stuff, we have to work with it post-arising. So we have to be careful that we don't feel like we're bad or wrong, or we certainly don't want to feel shame for some of the things that arise in our mind. And you probably find that you have varying degrees of success with that. There's just this kind of meta awareness. You could actually say two T's, one T in this one, being aware of the multiple experiences that arise in the mind, and also having some degree of acceptance or benevolence over, okay, like this stuff is being chucked up in my mind, and it's not a reflection of me. And so if you can do that, then it's usually much easier to be honest about some of the things that arise in our mind that are not great, not attractive, not what we would want. And so when we really start to see, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, is what comes first, the contempt or the ill will. And I find that for me, usually I find the contempt comes on first. I find out some information about something that somebody has done or thinks or believes or has said, and I automatically elevate myself. I don't even do it. I get my system elevates me. My emotional system does the move. I don't even mean to do the move. I get elevated into a, oh my God, I'm better than them. I'm not. A lot of it's just, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. They're like that. How could they be like that? How could they think that? And then so with the contempt, there can be some anger. There can be some disgust. There can be a kind of devaluing of the other person. Certainly the situation with the president and his medical situation, it can be very easily to be like, well, of course you got the coronavirus. So, you know, like, what were you? This guy's been downplaying it. He hasn't been wearing a mask. There can be a kind of deservedness. And there can be that thought, boy, wouldn't it be great if he just died? I would be very surprised if y'all haven't had that thought at least once or twice in the last couple of days. I know that I certainly have. And it's interesting because over the last couple months, I've said many, many times in his dismissal of the situation, wouldn't it be great if Trump just got the coronavirus and died? In saying it was actually quite enjoyable. But now that he actually has it, it doesn't actually feel so good. You know, and so then there's that like, oh, ill will actually doesn't feel good. You know, what do you do? What do you do with or about that? I think the hard part in always, I think the hard part in all the work that we do here is actually just having to be honest about what's going on in our mind. You know, because we're not responsible for what goes on in our mind. We're only responsible for what we do about it. You know, karma, so we talk about karma. Karma is really intention. And even the fruit of the karma doesn't actually take place in the intention. It takes place in the action, as we know. So if we're not doing anything or saying anything or letting the ill will actually manifest in the relational field, if it's just internally, then, you know, to some degree, I think that that's okay. And I think actually, you know, of course, a lot of people would argue with me about this, but, you know, the mind doesn't belong to me. I don't have any agency over it. My job is to just kind of keep an eye on it and take care of it and take responsibility for how my mind proliferates into my intentions, into my actions, into my speech, into my behavior, and how I relate to the world. That's where the thinking harmful thoughts is way different than doing harmful acts, right? So this is one of those situations where it's like, I'm like, okay, well, now what do we do? It's like, I actually don't really know. I'm like actually real. I'm really just telling on my mind in real time right now and not really sure where any of this is going here this morning. So definitely do some practice on it, and actually interested in to hear what thoughts you might have about this. But I think that the big ask in Dharma that I always struggle with is, again, a universal experience of benevolence. Some level of understanding or some level, however you hold this, and I don't have a strong feeling about this and my mind changes about it constantly, is, you know, is there some force, is there some law force in the universe that, is there some kind of force in the universe that polices these kinds of things? Some schools of Buddhism would say, yes, there is, that you don't actually have to worry about it. Things work themselves out. I have a really hard time subscribing to that thinking. Some schools would say, actually, everything is perfect all the time. It's just a matter of how we're seeing it. But I think the most pragmatic sense is trying to recognize that in any given moment, what we do, the idea of the future, if you will, is usually always dictated by the conditions that I'm in this moment. So I don't know about you, but if I'm in a great mood and I'm happy and I feel like everything's going great, the future looks great. I'm great, you're great, you know. But if I'm like suffering and I feel all this contempt and ill will and I feel apocalyptic attitudes about the future, then the future's fucked. And so if I am going to allow the present condition that I find myself in to be the clairvoyant kind of system that I use to predict the future, I'm in a lot of trouble, because that is like basically straight up delusion. Right. It's even the same way I feel about myself. If I'm happy and I'm in a good mood and I feel rested and at ease, I like Dave Smith. He's great. But if I'm frustrated or confused or having a hard time, I don't like this guy so much. So we have to realize that our self-view and our worldview is largely built upon just what's happening in this particular moment. So I don't think we should put a lot of stock in that. I don't think we should allow the conditions of the present moment to create how we see ourselves, the world, and the future. It's really bad data. So right now, I feel like it's a good time to look at the bigger picture, to try to let the mind be as wide as possible and have some ambiguity. And I don't know what's going to happen. We just don't know. much of anything at all right now. Not that we ever did, but right now for sure, it's very, very much all up in the air. So I find that it's better to use our kind of bigger picture feelings about, like, yeah, kindness. I've decided that that's probably a better way to go about things. Let me use that one. A lot of it's actually, for me, it's trying to draw on my deeper sense of values right now rather than putting stock into the moment-to-moment changing conditions of my life, putting more stock into my values that I have acknowledged, developed over a longer period of time. Being like, well, kindness, metta practice has served me pretty well, and mindfulness has been pretty good, and not doing drugs and alcohol has kind of panned out. And, you know, I've done a bunch of stuff that's kind of worked. So I think it's right now we have to draw more on what we talked about last week of what are skillful means for you. What are some things that you have identified that have kind of for the most part have worked for long periods of time, rather than being kind of battered around by what's happening right now, whatever your latest media feed was or piece of news or your recent kind of disappointment or aggravation about things, not letting that be the predictor. Because that really cooks up the emotion. That's what cooks up the anger. That's what cooks up the disgust. That's what cooks up the contempt and all these experiences. So we don't want to just be hitting the red button of emotional triggers, you know. Or sometimes I find myself just sitting on the button, you know. So I guess the practice here will be two things. One would be to actually reflect on recent events and experiences and trying to acknowledge any sort of ill will that has been in your mind, any sense of superiority towards wherever, whomever. And then just kind of feeling into whatever sense of ouch or kind of, oh, that doesn't feel so good, actually. Maybe even some healthy regret. And also, like, truth be told, the world does not need our contempt and ill will right now. Like, that's not going to help anybody, especially you. And then trying to see if we can have a metta or a kind of more of a goodwill, just a well-wishing in general for ourselves and others, nobody specifically. So kind of a threefold practice, so a little specific. And we can talk about that. So that's what's been on my mind for the last 7 days. And as I can tell you, it's been way more on my mind than I would like to admit. And of course, Coyote ran off with my bell, so we'll just get right into it. Coyote loves the meditation bell. He just smashes it as hard as he can. So just a short practice here on transforming ill will and beginning as we do to allow the eyes to close, bringing your full awareness into the present moment. And this practice is helpful if we really make a strong connection with the body, which is where we have our emotion. It's felt the strongest, the neck and throat, the chest, torso area. And just cultivating a very simple mindfulness of breathing, mindfulness of the body, to allow the mind to settle. Boom. And then just bringing to mind the recent events of the last week or the last few days. And seeing if you can remember or recognize any feelings of ill will that you've had towards others. Wanting harm to happen to somebody else. Or wanting others to experience pain, sickness, death. And just seeing if you can recognize any feelings of ill will. Not for the sake of beating ourselves up or being judgmental towards ourselves, but just an honest reflection that this is part of our humanity, this ill will out of a sense of moral superiority. Feeling better than. Any ways in which we've wanted others to experience any kind of misfortune, hardship, this is often born out of feelings of anger, being angry about things, feelings of disgust, and feelings and emotions of contempt, of feeling better than certain situations, things, scenarios. And being careful that we don't indulge this experience. And that we don't have any sense of blame or judgment towards ourselves, but just an objective recognition that this is a shared universal experience. We get angry. We find things to be actions and views and beliefs to be disgusting. We have contempt. And because of these emotional experiences, we find that we might be wishing harm onto others. And part of the practice here is to just be as honest as you can with yourself about this reality. And then if you can, bringing more awareness deeper into the body and starting to see that these emotions are usually triggered out of our own sense of suffering, fear. And when we're unable to recognize or acknowledge our own inner sense of hurt or suffering, we externalize that and wish harm onto that. and as best we can, extending this intention and quality of goodwill towards ourselves, a well-wishing, may I be at ease in this world just as it is, with all of its confusion and fear, discord. May I be at ease with the world just as it is. And being careful that we don't allow our own lack of understanding to become the grounds for ill will. And just as I wish to be at ease, may I be at ease, may you also be at ease. And just well wishing to the other people on the screen and anybody in your general world and vicinity at this time, family, friends, loved ones. May I be at ease, may you be at ease. May I be at ease, may you be at ease. And then extending that out to reach everybody. May I be at ease. May you be at ease. May we all be at ease. May we all be at ease in this world with all of the fear and confusion, uncertainty. And just however it makes sense to you, cultivating this intention of goodwill for our shared humanity. that fundamentally we all want the same thing. And this understanding that we all want the same things and we are all uniquely confused about how to acquire them. And for the last few minutes here, allowing yourself to just rest in this open, feel this open awareness of goodwill. Wanting the best for ourselves and others. All right, thank you for your practice this morning, and look forward to hear what's on your mind.